Welcome to this week's episode of the Temple of Hoop podcast. Sure. Second round playoffs got off to a start today. King, what is going on with you, my guy? Before we get going, what's good?
Man, doing good, man. Those games was fun. They're fun today, man.
Man, we got a couple series that kicked off, a couple others to talk about. But let's start what actually went down today. Today's morning game, we had the Milwaukee Bucks taking out the Celtics in game one, 101-89. Man, a lot went on this game. I'm going to let you rock first. My initial takeaway is the Celtics are in trouble. You get a Giannis game that he doesn't really shoot well. You hit 18 threes, and you still lose by double digits. That is a little bit scary to me on the Celtics side. But go ahead and tell me what you thought of this game, then we'll go from there.
Yeah, same thing. They're in trouble. They're in a big trouble. Giannis didn't have a good game scoring wise. Wasn't efficient at all. Missed a lot of layups. Missed free throws. The Celtics hit 19 threes?
18 for 50, 36% around league 18, average.
18 threes, and you get dominated. Like, that's not good. Because, and I told somebody, and I think I didn't tell somebody, I tweeted it, I said, the Bucks are not doing anything special. That's the problem. It's like they didn't play out of their mind. They didn't hit a bunch of threes. They didn't, Giannis didn't go for 50. You know what I mean? Brooke or Portis didn't score for 20 plus. I mean, Drew had 25. He played good, but I mean, Drew's going to give you, he's capable enough to give you a few of those type of games. But honestly, outside of Drew getting 25, even then, that's something that we've seen Drew do multiple times before. Like, they didn't do anything special. And they just played their game, which was that drop. Giannis helped side. Bobby Portis crashed the boards, rebound, get physical, hit his open threes. Grayson hit the open threes. That was there. Try and beat guys off the dribble to create in the half court. And just, you know, live with the bigs. Horford shooting threes.
They're gonna live with the numbers,
making it, get the ball out of Tatum's hand and Jaylen Brown's hand, and make the big hit the three, and make Marcus Smart hit open threes. It was just a simple game plan. They executed and they dominated. They basically said, we're better than you. We have a game plan that says we're better than you, and we're gonna execute this game plan. There's nothing you can do about it, and there was nothing they could do about it because the people, the players that everyone kept saying, oh, they played a bad game. But you know what? You know why they played a bad game? Because they were only hunting two types of shots. The three-point shot, which the Bucks were running them off, forcing them off the line most of the game, and then the at-the-rim shots where you had Brook Lopez or Giannis coming to help side every single time to block. And even Portis is there. He's big, and he just goes straight up, and he still has enough length to bother you on the inside shot. So you know where you need to go get your shot from? You need to go get it from the in-between. We talk about these two being three-level scorers. Well, they need to get busy from the second level because they weren't getting busy from the second level. And that's why they were struggling.
Yeah, just to your point, Tatum, zero mid-range attempts in this game.
Yep.
Jaylen Brown, one mid-range attempt this game. So to your point, they didn't even try.
Yeah, I know. I watched it. I seen it. They weren't even trying. They weren't even trying to get him up. So, I mean, if you're going to play like that, you're not going to stand a chance against the Bucks at all. Like, at all. You have to hit mid-range against the Bucks. They're the perfect analytics team on defense where they're going to run you off the three-point line for your three-point shooters. They're going to fund you into the bigs, and they're going to make your worst three-point shooters, which are usually your big men, take those threes. That's how they play. They play analytics hoop on defense. They have the personnel to execute at the highest level. And you have to be able to take the analytics breaker, which is the in-between shot, which is the mid-range shot, and you have to be able to hit those consistently every single game. That's the only way you're going to beat the Bucks. So if you can't do that, then your team is going home, and they're going home very early. So that's just what it is.
Yeah, I think we talked about this right before we recorded. I was like, you know, KD gave these guys a lot of trouble last year because he was hunting that mid-range. He was living in that mid-range. So, you know, he kind of breaking what they do defensively, but yeah, you just got to get, we talked before also, I said they got to find a way to get more consistent, more in pace, play more in pace and get easier baskets. And you allude to why that doesn't happen because they're so, you know, they like to play at a slower pace.
Yep.
So they don't even, you know, like to play that fast, but they got to find a way to get easier baskets. That's all it comes down to. And then when they play small, I got to give Bud credit. They play small. They try to go small, make it a speed game. I think Bud spams that Bobby Portis post up on Jaylen Brown like three or four times, and he got a bucket, or they had a double, and they got a wide open three.
Yep.
So if they play small, you know, I like Jaylen Brown, but he cannot guard Bobby Portis on the blocks. That's not a recipe for success for the Celtics.
That's the evolution of Coach Bud because he wasn't doing that 3 years.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
This was off last year. He saw what Bobby and Brooke was able to do when Giannis was out. He saw what they were doing the low block. And this year, he said, you know what? We don't have Millicent. Screw it. We're going to play all our bigs. You know what I mean? You want to go small? Okay, we're not going to change our size. We have guys who can move. We have guys who can defend. And we have guys who can space the floor. You want to go small, then we'll give it to our guys on the low block, and they're going to eat on you. And that's where somebody made a great point, because I brought up the Rudy point, and I said, see how Brook Lopez looks when he has guys who can defend with him. They brought up two good points. One, Brook Lopez makes a fraction of the price that Rudy Gobert makes. Two, Brook Lopez on small ball will actually make small ball pay because he can score low block, he can shoot the three, he can shoot the mid-range. He's very versatile on offense. So if you're going small on them, don't think you're not going to pay for that. Because not only can they hit you in the low block, as you saw, they get offensive rebounds too because they board. So, I mean, the Celtics are in hell. Like, that's all I have to say. I watched that game, bro, and from a personnel standpoint, I'm like, bro, they're in trouble because they can't counter going fast because not only do they not play fast, they don't have the personnel to play fast. Like, they don't have the playmakers to be able to play up-tempo. And number two, they don't have the playmakers in the half court to be able to you know, make reads in terms of beating the defense, finding the zones and the pockets to be able to make certain passes or make certain reads, be able to get guys in their spots. They don't have the playmakers for that. They've been missing a point guard for years. They never addressed that situation. Their only solution is to do what KD was doing and just hunt the mid-range and just shoot it all damn day and keep hoping it goes in. Like, that's literally the only counter they have on offense. Go to the mid-range, shoot the mid-range, and just keep praying that you make them when you take them. Like, that's really all they can do from a schematic standpoint to open up the defense. If they start hitting that mid-range, then you're going to see better driving lanes. You're going to see better three-point looks because you're going to get more space. So when you start hitting those mid-range, you're going to open up your offense. But until they do that, they are in trouble. 18 threes, and you get destroyed, dominated. Giannis played horrible. You made 18 threes, and you get dominated. I don't even know what they could do outside of hitting mid-range shots. I really
can't tell you. Yeah. I think – so I'm still going to stick with Milwaukee in six, even though today, you know, it was disheartening for if you're a Celtics fan, I think. But you got to say, I do think Tatum has a couple big games in this. You know, he's going to have a game where he makes everything. Jaylen Brown is the one I'm worried about because the turnovers have been there all playoffs. Even against the Nets, they were there. And he has seven more today. Just the decision-making hasn't been great, you know, all playoffs. You know, he's had stretches where he's been great. You know, he closed a lot. He closed a couple of those games against the Nets, but I'm a little concerned about him, but he only had 12. I think he plays better. They can't do anything with Giannis. So the Bucks won by 12, but in the Giannis minutes, Giannis was plus 23 today. Just when he's on the floor, they just don't have an answer. Either you leave him on an island. And I thought Horford battled his behind off today. Horford made him tough, but he gets downhill transition. You have to help or it's a layup and you're just hemorrhaging open threes all day long. And they made them pay. I mean, the cold part is you can even say the Bucks weren't even hot. It's 12 for 35. Mm-hmm. They were less efficient for three than the Celtics were. And you still lost just because of the quality of looks. And like you said, the rebounds is just, like I said, that's disheartening. So let's talk about Giannis as a playmaker.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think he has a game like this 2 years ago. I don't think he's even capable of a game like this 2 years ago, but he made a lot of really good reads, you know, finding the guy after the rotation guys, hitting the guys on skip passes, making the right reads when guys came on post help. I just really feel like He's just made advancements as a playmaker that's just made him just almost unstoppable at this point.
Ooh, man. He's seen the floor, man.
Yeah. That's...
seeing the floor. He's anticipating the help. He's making a hockey assist. Man, shout out to the shout out to Porter's too passing. He's doing a great job too. When he's getting the ball, they're doubling. He's passing it out too. The Bucks front court, man, is so versatile. That's why I picked them to start the year to go back to back. That front court is just so versatile. I've been seeing Portis's praises for years. People are seeing it more and more every single year now. And then, you know, I was a guy who was heavy in terms of criticizing Brooke. I had to swallow that, you know, take that humble pie on that one, man. Like, these guys are versatile, man. And Giannis is just, man, his game has opened up, bro. He's playing high IQ ball with playmaking. It's not pretty in the sense that he doesn't have the ball skills to make, you know, flashy passes like a Magic or even a Bron. You know, Bron, you know, gives you some of those crazy, you know, no lookers, you know what I mean? And some type of adding some sauce to his pass, you know, Giannis is not going to do that. But you know what he will do? He'll make the right read and he'll get the ball where it needs to go in a timely manner, in an effective manner. And that's an A. And that's still the same production. You know what I mean? If you do it right, it's still the same production. So he was diming them up on the help. And, you know, people keep talking about, oh, you can just build the wall. You can't build the wall. There's a reason teams don't do that no more, because he's too good passing now. He's too good passing. He also has better footwork. You saw it, right? The pull-up midi.
Yeah. You
saw it, right? The back him down, scan the floor. Remember how I used to complain to you about why doesn't they just post up Giannis so they can stop building that wall, because then he could just be easily just pick guys apart when the double comes. Well, guess what? They're doing that. He's using his footwork. He's using his vision, and he's picking dudes apart. Like, this is why they don't build the wall no more. That worked 2 years. It's like when Coach Pop did the zone on Bron. Like, yeah, it worked when he couldn't shoot in 2007. But in 2012, right. 2013, guess what? He can shoot now. It don't work no more. You know what I mean? Like, you can't use the same stuff when a guy gets better. You know what I mean? And Giannis has gotten better. And it's bad, man. When he can have a game like this, he dominates you, plus 23. His team dominates you. No Middleton, bro. Like, man.
Yeah, you know what? You know what's crazy? In the post-game interview, you trying to get him all his praise. He was irritated with how he played.
Yeah.
If you watch him in the post-game. You know,
he missed bunnies. He missed layups. Yeah, his mind's like, man, I play trash.
Yeah, he was irritated with how he played. We'll see. I mean, the Bucks. This is the first time. This is the first L for the Celtics in the playoffs. We'll see how they respond. But I don't know, man. I think, you know, Tatum's going to go off. I don't think they're going to get swept. Tatum's going to go off.
Right.
I'm comfortable with six. But if somebody lowered it down to five after what they saw today, I wouldn't be bad, because you try to find things and they could do that better. They could do that better, and it's just not much you can reach for when you consider how the stuff that the Bucks didn't do. And that, you know, that's ultimately what was the scary part. Moving on to the second game. Great one. Warriors-Grizzlies. Warriors still home court advantage from the outset, just like the Bucks did. Win by one. Really back and forth game all the way through. Warriors filling out by 13 early. Then Jordan Poole happened. Man, I picked Memphis in seven. And I got to tell you, bro, I'm going to give you why. You can answer. I'm nervous about it even getting to seven, because you got Draymond thrown out early, 17 minutes. Curry and Klay combine and shoot 14 for 39. Jared Jackson and Ja, for your end, combine to hit 10 threes, and you lose. And I was disappointed with the Grizzlies, because one of the reasons I picked them was they should dominate the glass. They lost it today. And the Warriors played the whole second half with four guards on the floor. They were getting beat on the glass as a much bigger team.
By Andrew Wiggins, right?
Yeah, and I got to get – I was just thinking that Wiggins was incredible. The box score won't show it. He played way bigger than his size today. He was incredible. He struggled with Jared Jackson defending the post. But overall, on the glass, defending the rim when necessary, when guys drove, he did his job. So – I got to give Wiggins some credit there. He played really big, and just, you know, Jordan Poole, it's damn near max me time because we're off this playoff run. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, I mean, that was a game I didn't get to catch. I caught some of the synopses. I watched some of the possessions afterwards, after the fact. I was tuned into what folks were saying. I was watching some of the possessions, but from what I was seeing, from what I was hearing, from what I was looking at, it just seemed like, you know, obviously John, he had the better first step. You know, they let him test his threes a little bit. He felt more comfortable because they were, you know, they weren't trying to funnel him into the help because they didn't have the length that we did in Minnesota. So they were more so comfortable trying to let him take threes. He was better. He was more comfortable beating guys off the dribble, like Kuminga. Kuminga doesn't have, you know, Kuminga's crazy athletic, but he doesn't have the foot speed to move laterally like we had. So he was, you know, John said, "Oh, you can't guard me." But
he was big on the glass today. Go ahead.
You know, and I remember I talked with our guy Joseph about this. I remember I had this conversation with him. I told him, and he used to always say, "It's not that big of a deal." But I told him, I said, "Bro, Jaren Jackson Jr. not being able to rebound will be a problem." I told him this early. Everybody complained about it. Everyone complained about it. But people were saying, "Oh, it's not that serious. You know, he's not. It's not that necessary to get a rebound stats." Well, when you go small and you
got to dominate the glass,
you expect your big to rebound. He can't really rebound. This is what happens. A smaller team out rebounds you, and so that's your advantage. That's one of your advantages gone. Another issue that you had was that, you know, it's still piss poor execution to half court. You know, dude. You have Dylan. You have Dylan Brooks doing whatever the hell.
I was just about to go to that.
Whatever the hell he's doing, like, you know what I'm saying? Your IQ, that stuff. Like I said, you could get away when you were playing. You know, when it was Dumb and Dumber, when you was playing, you know what I mean, when it was Minnesota versus the Memphis, you could get away with that because you was playing dumber than, you know what I mean, you was playing the dumber team. But when you're playing a championship team, a team with the pedigree of the Golden State, when you make mistakes, they get magnified. They get magnified a lot because it don't take much. You know, Clay hits two back-to-back threes. Curry hits two back-to-back threes. Or now in this era, instead of KD hitting it, you have Jordan Poole hitting back-to-back threes. All it takes, man, is two threes and then a nice fast break. Next thing you know, your double-digit lead is in single digits, and you're sweating. You're sweating. You're wondering, oh, man, what the hell? I hope Curry doesn't wake up. You start thinking about, man, I hope Curry, Clay, they don't make up. Like, now you start overthinking. Now you start pressing this. Man, you can't give the Warriors multiple chances. They have to execute it. Unfortunately, Memphis is just not good at doing that in half court. So they're not very smart. They're not rebounding well. And like you said, this is with Draymond playing 17 minutes. When Draymond comes back, that job penetration is going to get even, you know, it's less effective because now you have the help side ability of Draymond Green. So it's going to be even less effective. And, man, Jordan Poole, man, I thought he's a good player, star potential, but I didn't think he was a actual star type of player, man.
Yeah, man.
Doing this in the playoffs, high stakes, you can't. I can't even hate, bro. Like, that's a star level player. That looks like it's on the way. That looks like a star level player that's on the way, man. And yeah, they're in trouble. Memphis is in trouble because that's you have Draymond Green, superstar defender, Klay Thompson. He's still all world when it comes to 3-and-D archetype. Obviously, Stephen Curry, we know what he is. All-time great, and now you have this up-and-comer who's younger, and then they have a young length. Wiggins can get after it. Kuminga can get after it when he's called upon. Oh, man, they're in trouble, man. Memphis is in trouble because they needed to win. I think they needed to win this game. You don't want to give Golden State the type of confidence they have now. Understand that we could play badly, we could lose our defensive anchor, and we can still win on the road.
If I recall, you have Warriors in six.
Yeah, I did.
So you still with that shorter, longer game?
I'll still stick to six because I still think Memphis matches up well enough that they can win the next game, and I think they'll possibly win a game five.
Okay. All right. We'll see how that goes, Manny. I'm a little disappointed. I think if you're Memphis, one thing you do hold on to is Desmond Bane, second best 3-point shooter in the NBA all season. 1-for-5, did not play well.
Yeah.
Other than that, yeah, man, Dylan Brooks. I'm sorry. I got to harp on this one more time. I understand there are certain players you don't want to take away their confidence. And I see, you know, Taylor Jenkins, because you need him on defense. He's one of your best defenders. He mucks the game up, makes star players have to really work. But, dude, you can't take shots like that. It's just – it's not even the numbers. It's the timing of the shots. When he feels comfortable to early, like out the blue, he'll just take a pull-up three with 20 on the shot clock or just ISO himself.
Like, why – how are you – like, I just don't understand this type of basketball, bro. Like, I don't understand – like, we just got off six games of that BS, and you're coming against a three-time champion doing that same thing, and you think it's going to work. Like,
Also, real quick, Brandon Clark, big again. I'm a fan. I know Memphis owner is really has really deep pockets, so he's probably going to pay everybody. But Brandon Clark's going to make some team really happy when his contract's up. I like him a lot.
He's good, man.
Right.
We didn't figure him out all year. So,
right.
No complaints from me.
All right. Before we get out of here, let's move on to these games tomorrow. Let's start off 76ers Heat. Obviously, the big news is Embiid out indefinitely. No timetable. Orbital fracture. I was going to pick the Heat in six anyway. I don't see any way the Philly's competitive in this series without Embiid. That's probably the one guy I think that can throw the ball in and, you know, control tempo, keep it close, possibly get Bam in foul trouble. But now with him out, at least through the first half of this series, I don't see it, bro.
You cannot run from your demons. This is James Harden. You cannot run from them. You can't run from your demons, bro. You have to ball. You have to ball. Like you got to ball, bro. You got to ball. You got to ball. That's you're not like you can't. It all comes back to James Harden. You have to do stuff. If you want to win, you got to do it.
I just think it's less pressure because nobody expects him to win. Right? Go out and cook.
No one thinks you can win now.
Everything is it's an elite defense, so it's going to be tough regardless. You just got to go out and play. I think Maxey will play well, or show up. It just Miami is really tough to score. You saw me, Trae Young is an absolute offensive superstar, and they had him fighting for his life for five games. So. We'll see, man, but I don't know if you agree, that's probably the least competitive of the second round series, in my opinion, just because Embiid is out. If he comes back, second half of the series again, be himself, it could possibly, extend it, but I don't see it, man. I don't like this matchup. Lastly, Suns, after a tough, tough first round matchup against my Pelicans, shout out B.I., you hear? Man,
they got another tough one.
Man, so
they got another tough one.
What's
the timetable on Devin Book?
He played the last game against the Pelicans.
Okay, yeah, because I didn't catch it.
He played. Hit a big shot late. So, I think this series can really be. Low key, be a 6 or 7 gamer. The way Luka controls tempo.
This one has Western Conference war written all over.
Yeah, the way that Dinwiddie and Jalen Brunson attack. But I'm really interested to see Mikal versus Luka. Man, I think that's going to be real fun. You got two guards who like to control tempo, Chris Paul and Luka. I think two great young coaches, great coaches. It's going to be fun, man. Who do you got? I'm going with Suns in 6 or 7. Are you going to call an upset here?
It's like it's just going to be like 1,000 Suns and Mavs. Ooh, bro. Star power, depth on both teams, well coached. Man. Classic war is on the way. But I'm going to take the higher. It's going to be a war. It's going to be a war.
Yeah, I think the thing that Jason Kidd and the players, to be fair, they are on the floor. They don't die in the non-Luka minutes like they had before. I think that's really a key against the Suns. They're also a great defensive team on the low. People don't realize Dallas was a great defensive team. I think it's going to be all close games, man. All very close games. Only thing I think is another favorable matchup for DeAndre Ayton. I think he should eat. I don't love the physicality of the Dallas bigs. I think that could possibly be a tipping point. But I also think Dallas has the best player in the series.
Of course.
And I think that matters. So I think we are definitely in for a fun series.
Yeah, like I told you with the Suns, man. Like I say with the Suns all year, Ayton's the key. He dominates. They're unstoppable. If he plays wishy-washy, they're going to be in trouble. they're going to have to claw their way out. And, you know, if Ayton dominates this series, they can beat Dallas in six comfortably. If Ayton goes out, gives you 20 to 25 a night, dominates the inside, like I keep saying, he does that, they'll win in six comfortably. If he doesn't, if he's giving you 16 here and there, being soft a little bit here and there, you're going to have a war. And based on how he's played so far in his career, he's hit or miss. So I think we're going to have another war on our hands.
Man. And on that note, we'll let you know, we will be live on Spotify, live after that game Wednesday night, giving you the breakdown of what we think and also taking questions from you guys. Make sure you follow at His Kingsbro on Twitter. Myself, JJMaples55_MST. We will see you Wednesday after Mavericks Suns. See what we got it right, where we got it wrong. You guys be safe, and we are out of here.
Peace, y'all.